You are listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
12:31 p.m. Central African Time. Welcome back to the News Hour right here on مركز الصحابة online radio, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. My name remains
Hello, I don't.
Indeed, as stated before, we took a break. We look at the state, the current state of West Asia. Now, I'll tell you why. Our guest is going to explain
Hello?
To us. Very interesting indeed, as we look at the current state of West Asia. And of course, Western Asia, is there demography there? The most authoritarian region in the world. And is marked by stark economic and social disparities. We speak to Brother Masood Shajara, the director of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in the United Kingdom, is joining us on the line. Brother Masood, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to all the listeners.
Thank you so much for taking time to speak to us on this very, very important and interesting topic. I mean, I think it's very important that you touch base on that, the state of democracy as well in the Western Asia. What did you find out? What's going on there? What's the current state of the Western Asia?
Well, unfortunately, I think what we are facing is sort of colonialism and its wars. And so forth, it's very difficult to sort of see how any sort of independence would be allowed in the region. And unfortunately, sort of what we are seeing vis-a-vis Israel's sort of powers and sort of giving. The power to do whatever it wants, commit war crime, attack sort of all neighboring nations and so forth, we are at a very difficult juncture.
It is indeed a difficult juncture. And then, I mean, when you talk about Western Asia, a few different countries, but I would like to perhaps maybe pick one if that will make justice into this topic. I mean, we spoke about the Uyghur as well, but then more than half the countries in the region have low scores in drive, with the likes of Bahrain, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Yemen among the bottom 50 globally. So, but this doesn't order well. It seems as if there's what we call a suppression in terms of human rights as well.
Well, I think what we are seeing, not just in that region, but around the world, in the new sort of era, human rights are really just the empty words. They have no reality. I mean, when we have been 2 years, almost 2 years of one of the worst genocide in the history, and the worst and most visible genocide of our lifetime taking place, and no one being held accountable for it, and if anything, the powers in the world, especially the West, the leadership of the United States, are not only not doing anything on the sort of genocide convention, their responsibilities to tackle this genocide, but they're actually fueling it. They are giving arms and political coverage and political protection for this genocide to continue and escalate. So, you know, in an environment like this, It's really totally unacceptable and laughable to sort of start talking about human rights as a principle that is understood or adhered to under international law. And so if you could go and commit the greatest genocide of your time and get this sort of support and ability to continue and then be praised rather than in sanctioned, what do you think about the cost of human rights? Human rights becomes a tool to achieve your goals rather than a principle that we should adhere to under national and international law. So, you commit any sort of crime, including genocide, get away with it as long as you are in tune with the policies of United States and the West.
Now, that's where the intriguing part comes in, Brother Masood, because, we look at if you subscribe to what the Western says, especially the United States of America, I'm looking at what Donald Trump has said during the United Nations organizations at the UNGA summit. What he has said that doesn't actually augur well. There is no person who's really willing to talk about peace. I think it's easy for him to talk about peace on the podiums when there's microphones and cameras. But in practice, that seems to be something that it doesn't okay. But what does now this mean to all these global countries that are seeking global solutions and into these whole catastrophes?
Well, you are right. There is a huge number of countries, and indeed, over the majority of people in the world are not adhering to this policy of genocide and creating conflict and fueling it and so forth and so on. But when we look at the United Nations and the way it's voting and the way it is choosing the right side of history, and then we see that the majority of countries, and indeed the overwhelming majority of people, because we need to take into account it's not just the global south who is opposing these genocidal policies, but indeed many people in the West, ordinary people, overwhelming majority of the people in the West, and the polls showing that United States, Europe, something between 80 to 70% of them are against these policies. So, indeed, we have to say that the majority of people in the world are choosing the right side of history, while very small minority of people, which includes the leadership and the political elite of Western world, are in for this genocide, and this is why this genocide is taking place. So what we are still diminishing is not just international law, it's not just international institutions like UN and international courts, but we are seeing the whole fabric and the principles of democracy, liberal democracy, is becoming not fit for purpose, because these people like Trump and the leadership in Europe are basically turning their back towards the wishes of their own people. And so what is there? The question you raised was, what's the way forward? I think we need to recognize that these institutions, be it national one or international one, be it the democratic sort of structures like parliaments and so forth, or be it international ones like the UN or in the international court, in their present format, they're not fit for purpose. They are not going to give us justice. They're not going to give us peace. They're not going to give us the tranquility of international law. And so, therefore, those of us who don't want to have a future which is based on genocide and law of jungle, we need to start looking for alternatives. And this is what I'm saying, it's a very tall order. I believe that that is not easily done as I'm articulating it. But if we don't realize this at this hour, at this time of our history, then we're never going to be finding a solution.
Absolutely. Ramasuch, of course, lastly, I mean, let's look at what's the current political stage in the UK, where you are, what's happening. I mean, Kasama, obviously, has actually said that, look, the UK is going to recognize, you know, the Palestinians. How is the status quo there?
Well, it's taken, you know, almost 80 years to recognize Palestinians, which have been in existence long before that. And I wonder when they're going to recognize the genocide that is happening in front of their eyes. I honestly, recognizing Palestinians is not going to stop the genocide. And the genocide that took place in Bosnia, Herzegovina, happened when there was the recognition of Bosnia and Herzegovina, but they did everything to tie their backs, their hands in the back, but can't defend themselves, and they didn't defend them you know, themselves. UN refused to stand up and defend, and so the genocide took place. And I think this recognition. And it's just, it should have happened long, long, long time ago. Palestinians deserve it, for God's sake. But, you know, it's not going to solve it. It's just an excuse for them to continue supporting the genocide financially and militarily. And it's empty words. It's not going to save a soul or single child in Palestine. But I think, as a whole, what you were saying, again, unfortunately, the picture is not rosy at all. Not just in Britain, but you're saying Europe and indeed the United States, the politics is being dragged into a very rated xenophobic and based on otherization. And conflict being created between people of different background, be it sort of people of black, brown versus white, or Muslims versus others. And this sort of otherization is politics of the day, be it in Germany, France, Britain, or United States, is creating the conflict between ordinary people. So they get busy with this divisions and hatred, while that 1% is benefiting and taking all the resources away. I'm very afraid of the division politics, divisive politics, which is now being promoted, not just in one place, but all over the Western world, and we're all victims, except 1% or 10% which enjoy 80% of the resources, finances, and the power and everything else. I think we need an awakening that this sort of policy, this sort of direction, very dangerous, not just for the minorities, but for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. We'll keep in touch and take care.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
A very big thank you there to our guest, is Brother Masoud Shajara, who's the director of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in the United Kingdom, taking us through to the current state of the Western Asia as well as what's really happening currently, the political status quo in the United Kingdom.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.